Hey, podcasters, Clazy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
Look, on today's catch-up, our surprise quiz is back.
Scott Pape, the barefoot investor, gave us some information on subscriptions.
We find out what lengths you would go to for your greatest passion.
And way too many people are sleeping with their pets.
You could give Dad this Big Breakfast catch-up for Father's Day, or you could really spoil him with big brand fragrances from Chemist Warehouse.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
When Matt and Kimber think we're crossing to Hong Kong to talk to Jeff Parry.
I had my serious journalist face on.
I know, I could tell. I could see you prepping.
I've been upstairs prepping about Hong Kong.
For 7 hours.
It has been so long since we did a surprise quiz.
Yeah, surprise.
It's a surprise, yeah.
Oh, man.
Surprise quiz 2019.
Hang on, I think I'm leading at the moment.
Kimber 2, Matt 1.
Hey, ooh. I've got to celebrate that because I don't lead very often.
No, well, he flogged you last year. Now, we're about to play the surprise quiz. In case you've never heard it, it's Matt versus Kimber, and sometimes it gets a bit untidy here.
Hey, play along at home.
A bit unruly.
Sometimes friendships it's a bit like Survivor, really, isn't it? Throw each other under the bus. Are we ready for the surprise quiz?
Okay.
Yep.
Matt versus Kimber, let's go. Question one. The state government announced a $1.6 billion project in Bellevue this week. What are they going to build?
Bellevue. A quokka statue.
Are you trying to be funny?
No better than the answer I have.
Bellevue.
Kimber? A hotel.
Oh, you too. Have you been paying attention?
I'm really hoping
1.
It's a homeless
6
shelter.
Billion.
Trains. They're building trains.
Oh, good. We need more
really public
transport.
Really across the news this week.
Current score, Kimber 0, Matt 0. Oh, question 2. Who was kicked out of The Bachelor for calling Matt a...
Monique.
Well done. You have been watching, haven't you?
Yes.
Correct.
He watches and I don't. That's how much has turned around.
I know. Look at me.
I don't watch it.
Maybe I should start doing the juice.
I'm really glad you answered quickly because what was written here was almost the actual thing. Oh. Anyway, question what she called him. Question 3 with Matt 1, Kimber 0. It weighs more than 5 tonnes and measures more than 23 metres long. What's the new attraction that's been built in South Perth?
75 Nick Nat Nui's.
Oh, that's not a bad answer, actually, but it's wrong.
God.
Well, Nick,
how have I missed all these things? Mm. Is it a quokka statue?
Oh, you're close. It's a giant numbat.
Oh!
I'm just looking at Tom, our producer. You didn't make that one up. Is that made up? It's real.
No, it's legit.
I love the numbat.
We really know how to spend our money, don't we? We're really getting it right.
Trains and numbats.
Truth else.
Current score check. Matt 1, Kimber 0, but she's got one numbat in the backyard. Number 4. What's Marcel the monkey from Friends' real name?
Katie.
Oh, well done. Matt 1, Kimber 1.
Is it really, though? Is that what her people called her? No.
Apparently.
That's a Hollywood name.
Monkey say monkey do.
Yeah, it's capuchin monkeys don't name themselves.
All right, have a banana. Question 5. Last week it was revealed you can be fined for doing what at drive-through restaurants? Last week revealed you can be fined.
Using your mobile phone.
Oh, correct. Kimber Kale has a win. No. Oh, my goodness.
That was a surprising win.
He's extraordinary.
Numbats to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go Billy Joel.
You're feeling a bit numb after that?
Well, what I'd really like is to ask my Hong Kong question.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, we'll just call Jeff Perry on his private number.
Mate, I don't make up the rules. So Kimber 3, Matt 1 in 2019, the surprise quiz.
Gee, we haven't played enough quizzes this year, have we?
No.
We better get back on our game.
But I'm still in contention for the finals.
Oh, always.
Oh, no, you're still in there. Yeah.
This could fall over at any moment.
You are on the
We're just taking it one quiz at a time.
Well done, Ross.
Yeah.
Should have done a Ross Lyon question.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Money.
Money. I need dollar.
Scott Pape, the barefoot investor.
The barefoot investor, Scott Pape. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, guys.
Scotty, it's not enough that there's a shoe store or at least 12 of them in every shopping centre and we can buy them online. Now shoes have gone next level.
The world is going to subscription payments. Now, we all know the Netflix-style monthly subscription that, you know, where they charge us, what, $10 or thereabouts a month and you just forget about it and you just keep paying it. Yep. Well, Nike just released something called the Nike Adventure Club. It's aimed at between 2-year-olds and 10-year-olds and it kicked off in the US last week. So basically there are 3 tiers of subscription, either $20, $30 or $50 a month, right, that you pay, parents pay, and you get a new pair of sneakers every month 2 months or 3 months, depending on how much you're paying. It was just interesting to me that this is the sort of the new way that businesses are trying to get our dollars. They're saying, hang on, we're not going to interrupt people and sell them over and over and over again. Instead, what we're going to do is try and do what Netflix does, get your credit card and just tap it, just hit it every month or thereabouts so that they don't have to keep advertising the same customers over and over again.
I mean, I guess at face value, it's probably quite attractive to people because shoes are expensive, as you just alluded to. And
yes,
for $30 a month, you're thinking, well, like that I can afford. I can't afford the $250 once every 6 months. So yeah, it is, that's the catch, isn't it? It is quite attractive on face value.
It is, but again, this is only for 10-year-olds. So you're not buying $250 pairs of shoes unless you're Kanye West for your 10-year-old. So you're only buying, you know, little nipper shoes. And, you know, for me, what's wrong with hand-me-downs? I mean, the whole world is going insane if you're actually, you know, you're on a monthly payment plan for your kids' Nike shoes. Maybe you have too much money. However, you know, this is where the world is going. You know, young people have grown up with Uber, with Airbnb, with Spotify, Netflix. So this idea of regular payments, of subscription services, I think is taking hold. And the worry for me as the Barefoot Investor is people sign up to these things and the killer is that people forget about them. Yes. You know, I think it's interesting, but I think it's also could be a bit of a trap for people.
But we're used to things like the, you know, reading the news on the net over the last 10 or 15 years for free, and now they're trying to monetize everything, and all of a sudden there's a paywall on the local newspaper, and it freaks us out a bit, but once you get used to it, it's just the new way.
It is, and once they've got your credit card details, they can just keep hitting you for a small monthly amount. But, you know, the reason that the newspapers have had to put up paywalls is because there's less advertising dollars going through. What we're seeing now, again, is these subscriptions where businesses are putting money into loyalty, acquiring the customer, like our Nike example, where they get you on the hook for the kids' shoes. They don't have to be hitting you with ads in the newspaper anymore. They can focus more on that direct customer relationship. So it really has ramifications, the new way of doing things. You see less ads for supermarkets, for instance, you know, with individual items. Now what they're trying to do is hook people into loyalty schemes. That's how the supermarkets are spending their money. That impacts, you know, media companies and the way that we consume the media, because they have to get another source of revenue, which is subscriptions.
Well, the key is to ignore at your place the Nike subscription. You'll have the Barefoot Investor Kid.
Yeah, there you go. I don't need it. Barefoot Kids.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Claresy, you've got us nervous now.
Why would you be so nervous? Just because I was talking about passion, the great passions in your world.
Oh, I know. And people always say, you know, you might only get one chance at this life. Don't waste a moment. I just end up on the couch watching The Chase.
Yeah, is there anything wrong with that?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think so, but now I'm feeling really bad.
I notice it in a lot, particularly because I don't really follow sport. And when you guys meet sporting legends and people that you've grown up with, real icons, that sort of stuff, and you're like, I'm so passionate about this, or passionate footy followers who love their teams.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't feel that in my veins. I don't get that buzz of like, I really want to follow that thing or do this thing.
Oh, okay. What about when we get the great film directors in for a chat? Stuff like that.
Yeah, no? Maybe sometimes, but it doesn't inspire me to do anything myself.
Okay.
Well, you know what I mean? I don't take my passion to the next level.
You did drive to the Swan Valley to buy cheese.
That's true. Yeah. Worth it every time.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Well, my wife, Laurie, has a very good friend whose mother is a woman in her 60s who's very, very passionate about one Elvis Aaron Presley. I'm just a so much so that she's got Elvis number plates.
Oh, really?
Everything is about the King.
Okay, that's passion.
However, in her 60s, she still hasn't been to that place in, you know, Memphis, Tennessee, known as Graceland.
Oh, still hasn't been?
Until now.
Oh!
So about 2 weeks ago, she was getting on a plane to Perth Airport very nervously because her great passion in life, she was about to completely indulge and go to Graceland and spend thousands of dollars on merchandise.
Oh, but good on her. I love hearing stories like that.
Yes.
Like my girlfriend's really into, like she was into walking, started to do a bit of hiking around Perth.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, she says to me, I'm going to do the Pacific Crest Trail, which is the trail from Mexico to Canada. And she did that on her own. It's in that movie with Reese Witherspoon, The Wild.
Yes.
Right.
It's like quite a scary film. But she did that trek on her own. It's 4,300 kilometres.
Say what? Wow.
And it takes about 5 months to complete. And she did that on her own. And you're just out on the trek and occasionally you run into other people who are doing the trek. Otherwise, you're just out there with your tent and you're carrying all the stuff you have.
Oh, to be unemployed again.
that's a gap year, isn't
it? Yeah, it
is. Like, what a passion. I mean, to do that, that's a big ask of yourself, I think.
I mean, yes, I'm passionate about what I'm doing with Sheffield Wednesday in PlayStation 4.
Yeah, yeah.
I am.
Yeah. It is a great passion. Seriously.
You do talk to me about it every
day. I do. But I'm prepared to walk away.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, to Canada?
Yeah, well, I've got another job offer, so I'm considering it at the moment.
Look,
that's in the game, folks.
I think we need to find people out there who have got real passion that's driven them to actually, you know.
Extraordinary lengths.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we do joke, but, you know, maybe you did climb Everest.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe you did that. You went to Antarctica.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It was that trek you went on to get to see your favourite band.
Yes.
Because I remember the night, you guys know I love the band, the American band Steely Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't travel that far, but I did wait for 30 years for them to come to Perth. And the night they played Perth, they played Sandalford, and I walked down from the merchandise tent. I never buy merch. I spent hundreds.
Yeah.
And I walked down, felt like I was floating on air, and there's your passion right there.
People will drive across the Nullarbor for a grand final.
True.
All right, give us a call, 133353. What extraordinary lengths did you go to follow your passion?
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mix 94.5, it's your Big Breakfast. It's Clancy, Matt and Kimber. I don't care, Ed Sheeran, don't know about that, because there are people that care and are very passionate about things, including this friend of my wife's best mate, or in fact her mother, who's heading off to Graceland to see, well, you know, Graceland itself, Elvis's mansion.
Well, talking about people we know who are passionate, the wonderful Samuel Johnson, what he did for his sister, unicycling around Australia.
Yes.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. That's having that passion then acting on it as well.
Yeah, it's hard once you find that passion to even continue it, especially with our busy lives. Mm. Jason is in Maddington. Jason, what extraordinary lengths did you go to follow your passion?
Well, good morning, guys. This year I wrote a book, so I decided to self-publish that book. It's called Major Grumpy Morning Man, Getting Ready for Work.
What was that title again, Jace?
It's called Major Grumpy Morning Man, Getting Ready for Work. Oh. I've actually written three, but I could only afford to publish one.
Sure.
Well, yeah, we need to read that, buddy, because that sums up our lives for sure.
It's about a man who's getting ready for work and he has things go wrong and his wife has to come in and calm him down to get him on his way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Good for you, mate.
That is brilliant.
I actually sent it to you guys for the Never Been On Stage Before, so you've got the book there.
Oh, great. We'll check it out.
We're going to track it down.
Oh, good on you, Jason. Yeah, how long were you passionate about writing and then you finally thought, no, this is enough, I'm going to get it out there?
7 years.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, seven-year itch. What about how long have you been grumpy in the morning for, Jace?
For a little while, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
just don't like things going wrong.
Yeah.
But I soon got into trouble off the beautiful wife and she sent me on my way.
Oh, good on you, mate. That is not easy to write an entire book. You know, a lot of people say that it's, you know, 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration.
Well,
it's actually a song as well. It rhymes and flows in rhythm. Like, it'd be good for you to sing. You can put a tune to it.
Okay.
Well, look out, Matt's hits from your hood.
It's your hood.
Yeah, no,
Maddington.
I'll definitely put a tune to it, Matt.
I'll get my people to talk to your people, bud.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason, and well done.
Well done.
Congrats.
Hey, Jason with the book, the movie, the idea, the passion, Grumpy in the Morning.
Yeah, I love it.
Let's go to Woodvale. Milos, is it?
Yeah, Milos.
Milos, welcome.
Hello, buddy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Good. And tell us, what extraordinary lengths have you gone to for your passion?
Yeah, me and my sister, we wanted to go around the world, but I've got married here. And a suit back, I couldn't get to that trip. But my sister, she went around the world in 1.5 years on the motorbike.
On a motorcycle around the world.
Around the world. And even she was here in Australia last year.
How long did she spend on the bike there, Milos?
Oh, 1.5 years.
Oh. One and a half years.
And how old is your sister, Milos?
She is now 37.
That's amazing. That's a really, you know, gutsy thing to do. And I'd love to say that, you know, male or female, it's gutsy. But also female travelling around on your own like that, it's not easy.
She's actually the first lady on the motorbike around the world, been all the places. And also something most extremely I can say she's done, we got married on her way on the trip. when we got married, me and my sister, our celebration was in Machu Picchu.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh,
wow.
Machu Picchu. Oh.
Yeah.
Then just after that, almost before she finished her trip, she got pregnant and now she has a baby.
Oh, wow. There you go.
That's nice.
So there's a bit of passion involved in the passion. Oh,
absolutely.
Thanks, Milosh. Great story.
Wow, that's gutsy. I mean, you can't
need to make a movie about that one.
Yeah, you can't get RAC roadside in Azerbaijan.
It's troubling, isn't it?
Wow, great passion. Let's get a hobby quick.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
We've talked before about how back in the day it felt like dogs just sort of lived in the backyard. We had the dogs out the back. Occasionally you'd go out, you'd play with them, let them in now and then. But they were sort of like more, you know, more like pets than family members.
Yes.
And over the decades, that seems to have changed. And Elanco have done an Aussie dog survey. You know, you don't need to know who Elanco are. It doesn't matter. No. We trust the surveys, right?
Yes, some company.
They say that 7 out of 10 dog owners now consider their pets to be part of the family. Right. The dog is part of it. And only few people think, oh, no, just a pet. But more dogs are sleeping in their owners' beds. 27% are sleeping in the bed, and that's more than are sleeping outside the home. There's only 21% outside the house.
Yes, okay. I would imagine that. There's a lot less sort of outdoor dogs these days.
Yeah. So they're all climbing in the bed with you. I mean, I don't... Do you let Florence sleep in the bed?
No,
she's huge.
No, we don't. We don't let her sleep in the bed. Right. When she was a very small puppy, she was allowed up in the morning for a bit of a cuddle, but not anymore.
And Dalmatians grow very quickly, right?
Oh, she's huge.
She got pretty big.
Absolutely huge.
Right. If she was in the bed now, would anyone be able to sleep?
No, I certainly wouldn't because I've already got Steppy D and the cat and T in there. So
you get the full set.
Yeah.
It can be a bit of a sensitive issue for some people too, I think, because if you bring someone home or if you get into a new relationship and they say, oh, my dog sleeps in the bed.
Yeah.
That's not always something that everyone's accepting of.
No.
Yeah. The way as a non-dog owner, I see people, you guys know that I love dogs, but I don't necessarily want one. Mm. I've never been a dog person, but I see the way people treat their dogs these days. And I do see people treat their dogs in some ways better than they treat their children.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm having a bit of a laugh as I say it, but some of the things that they do, and I would imagine they'll let the kids have a little camp out the back for a bit of fun, but you don't want to leave the dog out in the cold overnight.
Oh, no. My dog is living better than half the world's population, you know, which is a shameful thing to say. I mean, I'm glad she's happy. But...
Well, nearly half of all dog owners, so 47%, are taking their dogs on holiday at least once a year.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
And dogs are joining their owners at cafes and restaurants more often than before, so about 32% on average.
Mm.
So they're getting out and about. They're living a good life.
Getting a little doggy chino.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And almost every cafe's got a water bowl out the front.
Yeah, true.
You know, so they're obviously encouraging that. They want people to bring their pooches.
Yeah. How do we stop them being more important than the people in our lives? Or should we?
I don't know. They're better people than most people, so maybe we should keep looking after them.
Will the world be less populated by people having children and just more doggies around the place?
Could be.
Yeah, more best friends.
More dog poo.
Possibly.
Ah. And by the way, pick up your dog poo.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. People are getting lazy.
Yeah, they are.
Right, I'm seeing a lot of the people doing the sneaky look around to see if anyone's watching.
Yes.
Going, I'm watching you.
You know, isn't it wonderful? You have all these beautiful parks that we get in Perth. Parks everywhere. Mm. And you want to run through and enjoy it. And you're walking through people's dog turds.
Squelch.
It's just ridiculous.
And the secret of a wholesome life is doing the right thing even when you don't have to.
True.
Even when no one's looking.
And the plastic bag, the yellow plastic bag excuse, you don't like plastic, is not an excuse. You can use something else.
Take it home in your hands.
Yeah. Gross.
And put it in the bed.
In the bed.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Soaring.
That's a really good news read, but here's what the news missed.
Okay, this is a community service announcement, really, for the kids there. Look, if you didn't know already, it is a crime to pretend that you are a police officer.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Now, that said, if you did were silly enough to steal a police car, as 25-year-old Valerie Portok was, you'd probably have to turn the sirens on.
Of course you would.
If you're going to do it, Do it.
If you're stealing the police car, that is the first thing you're doing.
Absolutely. Either to get through traffic quickly or just to get that rush.
Just to have some fun.
Yeah, just to have some fun. Well, I think Valerie has done this.
Yeah.
And decided to pull over a car.
Oh, really?
Like, she was really in the character role, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a he.
Oh, it's a he.
Yeah,
Valerie.
It's a weird spelling. Valerie.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway. It doesn't really matter because we don't see gender on the Big Breakfast.
Valerie's from Belarus.
Valerie, you see. Yeah.
Just what he said.
Yeah. So he's pulled over this car. And, you know, again, I don't condone the behaviour, but I appreciate the fact that if you're going to do something, give it your all.
Mm. I mean, this is just sort of like Robert De Niro rehearsing for an important movie role.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
It's method acting.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, the car that he's pulled over is full of detectives.
Oh, dear. That's probably not the best way to go.
And they've gone, hey, buddy, no, we're one of you. We're cops. And he's gone, oh, and he's fled.
Ah. Oh, he took off.
He took off.
The big bolter.
And he's been caught by a proper policeman driving a police car.
Yeah.
And now he's in big trouble.
Probably caught by the detectives in the car.
Yes.
Gee, I wonder what the charges are on something like that. Because it's kind of harmless at this stage, but it's obviously really dangerous if, you know.
Impersonating a police officer charge or something, isn't there?
Yeah, there would be. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's a heavy dose of karma.
Yeah, big time.
But of all the luck. I'm going to pull over a car. I'm going to pull over that car there. And they were playing clothes. And sure enough, they're all detectives.
I mean, it should have been a, you know, giveaway, given you never really see more than one person in a car at a time.
Maybe.
Possibly. And we've all been charged with impersonating broadcasters here this morning.
Certainly have. I'm up in front of the magistrate next week.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, you tell. Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Big star in Perth. Mm. Hugh Jackman is here, of course, for his shows this week.
Yes.
And
Whopper Boy returns, eh?
Yeah, The Man, The Show, The Musical. And he has posted a video on Twitter celebrating the sunset over our beaches.
So happy to be back in Perth. Cannot wait to do the shows. But first, I just had to show you this. You're in the west, where the sun sinks into the ocean.
Now, in the video, Hugh just turns the phone around and just shows this, you know, beautiful scape of the beach. And he hasn't identified which beach he was at, but we think it's the Swanbourne area. Kind of some signs in there that make it look like it might be Swanbourne.
Yeah, city beachy, Swanbourne.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Know.
And the comments.
It's the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, but you know, the comments have come from all over the world replying to it, marvelling at. Well, look, it's kind of a pretty average video, to be honest.
It
doesn't capture our beaches at their most beautiful, but people around the world are going, awesome, thank you for sharing.
He may be a great song and dance man, but he cannot shoot a great beach clip.
And he was puffing a bit, Huey, there. I think he must have been jogging before.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's a nice reminder for us how lucky we are in the West, though, to see that. Now,
we would be in a car on just near Rendezvous and do that bit where you can see that huge expanse of Scarborough
Trees.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and look, we've put the video up as well on our Instagram page. Help us work out the location. If you know your beaches along there, then, let us know. It could be anywhere. It could be from all the way there up to the northern beaches. Haven't got a clue.
True.
So
check
it out and see if you can help us out and work it. Now, big wave surfer Ross Clark-Jones broke an ankle on Australian Survivor last night when he was swinging on a rope during the immunity challenge the rope snapped, sent him to the ground below, snapping his ankle, and it sounded a bit like this.
Medic. Oh, really? I was watching that live. I reckon they've added that sound effect in.
Yeah, it sounded like a pretty big crack.
Bone crunch.
But thank God Jonathan Lapaglia was on set to take control.
Yeah. Oh, they got the medic on it and they carried him off.
Well, medic's here. They rushed in.
But imagine the medic has to wait until Jonathan Lapaglia gives him the all clear.
He's the medic, man.
Medic's decided that Ross could not continue. But that's a scary issue because, I mean, the show is kind of dangerous anyway. It puts your body through some pretty serious challenges.
Oh, of course. That was a tough one.
But if the show's producers haven't hooked up the equipment properly, that's a whole other thing, right? Like if you're snapping on a rope.
Fail even when they've been hooked up correctly too.
True.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On one of these shows, someone's going to, you know.
Actually, I'm surprised that because Pia nearly did her leg on the same thing, you know, that kind of thing, the actress. So, These things are dangerous and they're set up by their teammates as well sometimes.
Well, PMS. And Ross Clark Jones said, I've done some of the most physically demanding things in the world, surfing 80-foot waves, but this survivor experience is another level. 80 feet.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I loved it when he said goodbye. He said, I just made friends for life, or maybe the greatest liars I've ever met, which is part of the survivor game.
Yes.
And also, here is a gorgeous summer gig for you guys. It is at the Quarry Amphitheatre on Saturday the 14th of December. Katie Steele of Little Birdie with a full band. And I still hold your hand
on Sunday. Great voice.
Oh, Katie, she's great. And playing alongside Katie Steele will be a 20-piece Whopper gospel choir from our West Australian Academy of Performing Arts, accompanied by a string quartet. She'll be playing songs from her Little Birdie back catalogue as well as tracks from her solo records. It's an all-ages event, so you can get your family down there in the Quarry Amphitheatre if you've never been there. It is spectacular in summer. And you can BYO your picnic and drinks, get down there with a rug and enjoy the gig. Tickets are available from OzTix. So, yeah.
It's going to be beautiful.
It will be such a nice gig. Yeah. So check that out if you're interested. And that's your daily juice.
Nice work, KC. Looking forward to summer. Maybe Hugh Jackman will still be down the beach filming Little Birdie. It's just gone 7:43. Let's see what's happening with the traffic this morning. Is your home builder powered by the strength and stability of BGC?
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
It's one of Perth's funniest nights out. And it helps sick kids. Mix 94.5's Laugh Out Loud with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber on The Big Breakfast.
Our big night of laughs is back in a week and a half. We're excited.
Yes.
We can't wait.
It's a great night. The last 2 years have been wonderful and tickets are selling fast, so get on board.
Now, one of the hottest places for comedy is the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes.
Lots of incredible performers there. And every year they give out the funniest joke of the Edinburgh Fringe Award. Mm. And it's given to the comedian who gives the best one-liner and during the festival, and then 10 judges put forward whatever they think was the best liner and then the people vote.
Yep.
Okay.
And this year it went to a Swedish comedian, Olaf Falafel.
I love him already.
He's doing a show at the moment called It's One Giant Leak for Mankind. And this was the joke that won him the best gag at Edinburgh Fringe.
I keep randomly shouting broccoli and cauliflower. I think I may have florets.
Cute.
Very good.
That's pretty cute.
Very good.
That got him the gag. That's the award now.
Name's Falafel. I love it.
Well, yeah. He's taken the crown of one Tim Vine, who has won the award many times of the best joke.
Oh, yes.
Here's a little collection of his one-liners.
This bloke said to me, he said, I'm going to dress up as a small island off the coast of Italy. I said, don't be so silly. And I met the man who invented windowsills. What a ledge. So I said to this New Zealand bloke, I said, I'm going to a Swedish furniture shop. He said, does it look like IKEA?
That's three wins right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy just writing one of those.
Well, you know what? You've got to start somewhere. And we're looking for an amateur comedian to come and join us at Laugh Out Loud.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it's going to be a great night of entertainment. And there's professional comedians there, sure. But we want to have a fun night and give someone a chance. So if you've got no stage experience, come along and, you know, you could be up on stage having your moment.
Matt, yeah. Give you $50 if you're slotting that ledge joke into your set. Plagiarise.
It's already done. And it is. It's all about fun. I mean, we want you to record or video yourself doing whatever, 30 seconds, 45 seconds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you won't be on your own. We'll help you and I can have a chat with you if you feel like you need it. And it'll be a very supportive crowd who all know what you're doing.
Yep.
And, you know, just something to do.
Yeah. Oh, Kimber and I will be down the front, you know, to heckle you so you get used to that.
Great. Absolutely. Absolutely. Kind
of. But the other great thing about the night is everyone walks into the building. Everyone walks into the Astor knowing that they're helping Telethon and the kids.
Too right.
It is a fantastic night. So, look, if you've got your video or audio recording, just send us something short to breakfast@mix.com.au.
Yep.
And otherwise, come along to the gig. Tickets are $35.50 each. As we said, proceeds are going to Telethon to help the kids for the Kids Appeal. You know, that it's just a fantastic night.
And, Kimber, where do people go for that?
Oh, go to mix.com.au.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
Ticketek, get in.
You're a ledge.
Yeah, we'll see you on Friday night, Friday week. Have a look at what's happening with the traffic right now. Bernie D's all over it. Is your home builder powered by BGC, WA's largest home builder? Here's Bern.
Wish you listened to Dad as well as you listened to a Big Breakfast catch-up? Spoil it with big brand fragrances from Chemist Warehouse.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.